Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Now, we're excited that everybody's here this morning, and we welcome all those online.
Yes,
excited about you tuning in with us. And we always say this, the same thing that's happening here is happening for you, because there's no distance in the spirit. It's just your faith is what connects to the power of God. Amen. Right. So our faith activates that. So we're going to open up with prayer and get started. Then we're going to make our confession together like we usually do and move right into the message this morning. Amen. Father, we come before you this morning with expectation and anticipation, thanking you so much for your word today, that your word is alive, it's living, it's active, it's energizing, that your word is all powerful, and it never returns unto you void, but it goes out and accomplishes that for which it was purposed. It prospers where it's being sent today. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome the mighty Holy Spirit in here. Holy Spirit, you are welcome as the great revealer of all truth, the great illuminator, teacher of all things concerning and pertaining to the Word of God. So we thank you for hearts that are open and receptive today, hearts that come expecting today, and leaving changed in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So let's begin with our confession of faith. Hallelujah. I believe. I'm a believer.
I'm a believer.
And not a doubter.
And not a doubter.
I walk by faith.
And not by sight.
This is my Bible.
I believe.
It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am.
I have what it says I have.
And I can do what it says I can do.
Today,
I receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God into my heart, and I will never be the same. Never be the same. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You believe
Praise
that?
The Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise
Glory to God.
God.
You know, one of the things that I think is so important about the Healing Center, we do it because God wants you well.
That's so true.
You know, that is something that we have to get settled in our heart. And the good news to go with that, if you're not, Jesus is still the healer. So why don't you look
Hallelujah.
At your neighbor and say, that's real good news. Amen. Praise the Lord. So one of the things the Healing Center really does is help you to learn how to receive from God.
That's right.
So we're thankful for the great job. I know I'm thankful for the great job you and your team does, love, and I know people do. Praise the Lord.
God.
Amen. Well, today we're going to start something that's going to take us the 2 weeks that this week and next week into the following week. We need to pack this place out. We need to pack it out every week.
Come
but
on,
we need
that's
to, the
we
following
need.
Week we'll have Reverend Joe Morris here.
Don't
and if you never, you don't want to miss that.
No,
it's going to be
bring
really
the sick.
Yeah.
This man operates and flows as a prophet of God. And not only that, miracles follow his ministry,
yeah.
healings. God uses him through the word of knowledge and word of wisdom.
Yeah.
You
know, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are so important.
So vital.
And I want to encourage everybody that many times, what we need to understand is that God knows right where we're at.
Yes,
and
he
gave one of the reasons he gave the gifts of the Holy Spirit so his power could be manifested in our lives and in this earth. But also, he made a great promise in the Great Commission to every believer, including us, all of us in this room. He said that the signs that were listed, including laying hands on the sick and they shall recover, would follow the believer's life.
Yes.
And so it's really important for us to understand that when the Word of God is taught, God works with His Word to confirm it.
To confirm it. That's
through signs following. Mm-hmm. And whether that's through gifts of the Holy Spirit or the work, and many times the gifts of the Holy Spirit operate, and we don't have like a horn going off and say, oh, that was this gift. But it works. The main thing is it's working and God's power is being released in our life. Amen.
Yes, yes.
So we want to remind you of that. And today we want to talk about, we're doing this together for the next couple of weeks a little differently. But what we want to talk about is, if you want to, many of you do a title, is how to heal your heart condition. How to heal your heart condition. So let me explain. I can automatically hear some people say, well, I don't need to listen to this today because, Pastor Chris, I don't have a heart condition, okay? So let me explain what I'm actually talking about. That statement is literally true, but I'm figuratively talking about, the heart I'm talking about is about your spirit, your inner man. And let me explain what I mean by that so that you don't misunderstand, because I'm making a literal statement that what we're talking about over the next 2 weeks, if you have a heart condition, a physical heart condition, God can heal that.
Come on.
Or whatever physical condition it would
be,
it's the same. God can heal that. But we're talking about something figuratively that will, a heart condition that actually will affect every area of our life. And so let me explain, first of all, in 1 Thessalonians, most of you know this, but this is so important. Without really understanding what I'm getting ready to say, your faith, it's hard for your faith to really operate. For 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, Paul said, I pray that God sanctify you wholly, that you be sanctified holy, spirit, soul, and body, that you be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture makes it clear that the whole of man, we're a triune being, a three-part being. We are a spirit, an eternal spirit being made in the likeness and image of God. The inner man, it's also in the Bible, it's called the inner man. Peter called it the hidden man of the heart. It's called our spirit, or it's referred to as our heart, both Old and New Testament. But it's not the physical organ that beats that it's talking about. It's talking about the real you, the man on the inside.
That's right.
But notice, you are a spirit. You also possess a soul. Your soul is actually different than your spirit.
That's right.
If it was not so...
Right. People get that mixed up and they think it's the same thing,
yeah.
But it's
but,
not.
But it
the
can
same
be divided
thing.
Because Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us the dividing of sunder of spirit, soul, and body. So if your spirit, your inner man's the real you, the heart of man, then your soul is your mind, is made up of your mind, your will, and the intellect and emotion.
Right.
Now, they work together. Your soul and your spirit will work together, but it's really important that you understand there is a difference, but where both play a part in the wholeness of man. And then, of course, we all know what our body is. If you don't know, I think we all woke up this morning and realized that we lived in a body. But the real you is housed by your body. Your body connects you to this physical world. We really don't know God by our physical body. We know God through our spirits. Amen. And so it's important that we know this, okay? In salvation, your heart does not, or your inner man, your spirit, doesn't really get healed. It gets made new.
There you go.
Your spirit doesn't need to be healed. Your spirit is made new. This is why I'm saying, I'm going to explain a little bit. This is why I'm saying, I'm talking figuratively here about when I called it how to heal your heart condition. Because literally your spirit, the real you, is made new. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That new creature is perfect. That man on the inside, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, old things passed away, behold, all things become new. All these things are of God. So your spirit doesn't need to be healed. It was made new.
That's right.
Okay? So it's not healed. But here's what we need to understand. But because of wrong thinking, because of many times wrong teaching, hurts from our past, and all those things can affect what I'm calling the condition of our heart. Okay? Which is really has everything to do with your soul. But what we understand, it does determine what we can receive from God, including healing. Because just like in your physical heart, your organ, you know, many of us know people, or maybe you didn't hear, have had maybe a blockage or something. Well, thank God they can correct that, okay? Right. Now, God can heal that, but also the good news is many times people have had bypass surgeries and those types of things, and so that they live. Now, that's a powerful thing. That's really good. But what we understand is that when the heart, it can, the physical heart can get clogged up. Am I right? Through wrong stuff. What I'm letting us know is what we're talking about is our hearts that were designed, or our spirits that were designed to receive from God, can get gets kept from receiving the healing or the things that God wants to us because our souls have got clogged up with wrong thinking, wrong teaching, wrong hurts in the past, and all those kind of things. All those things were designed by the devil to keep us from receiving from God whatever we need from God, including healing.
Yeah.
So fixing, well, we're just figuratively talking, well, I'm talking about fixing your heart condition. Fixing that heart condition determines what we can receive from God, including physical healing, but not limited to that. So fixing our heart condition brings healing. And this is the healing of our heart condition, which can and lead to healing of our bodies, but so much more. Mm-hmm. There's people in here today that your emotional state keeps you from receiving physical healing in areas. Because if you think wrong, you'll believe wrong. And because of hurts, the devil does that because of hurts of the past. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't have to be that far of the past. It could be last week. Something clogs you up from you from believing from God. For instance, love, we've seen over the years these two main things that clog people up. Unforgiveness and offense. Yeah. Unforgiveness and offense is something that's so local, but it affects our spirit, mm-hmm. affects our heart condition, and it keeps us, unless we get that right, we will not receive from God that's what true. God wants us to have, including healing.
Yeah.
Now, the good news is today that can change, and that's what we're talking about the next 2 weeks. No matter what we need to receive from God, our heart condition that we're talking about has to play a great role, whether it's emotional healing or physical healing need. Because remember, your spirit is made new. It don't need to be healed.
Nope.
But there's emotions and there's physical body that there are things that can still be that we'll need healing for in our body.
Mm-hmm.
And what we want to do, we probably won't get very far today in this, but you can write these three chapters down. Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8, if you didn't already know, talks about one of the most famous parables that Jesus taught. It was called the parable of the sower. That is Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, and Luke chapter 8. For it to be in three of the four gospels, they are in the three synoptic gospels. For them to be in all three, this parable to be in all three shows the significance of it. Matter of fact,
important.
Jesus said, this parable is so important that if you don't understand this parable, how can you understand any other parable? So he, in his saying of this, said the content of this is of essence and importance for us to be able to really receive what we need from God. Amen. And so let's talk about this real quick, so that many times we say things and think everybody knows in a sense what it is. A parable. What is a parable? Well, a parable is a means of teaching. It's actually an illustration. It means, literally, the word means to throw down alongside of. So what Jesus did was Jesus used natural illustrations. Remember, he taught about like we're going to find out about this, about seeds, about things that people fish. He talked about nets. He talked about something natural. He gave a natural illustration, mm-hmm. to actually prove a spiritual truth. In other words, he explained a spiritual truth by giving a natural illustration, or however you say that. Mm-hmm. And so it means to throw along downside. So when Jesus taught something that was a natural illustration, what he was doing was illustrating a spiritual truth to us, and so that we could get it.
That's right.
Thank God. Amen. So look at your neighbor today and say, I'm going to get what Jesus said. Praise the Lord. Well, this is where we want to talk about this heart condition, because the parable of the soul illustrates what we'll be talking about. Jesus said that four people, Jesus said that people, that means everybody in here today, if you're people, and you are, you're breathing, you're listening, in one of these four categories. People, every person is in four categories. So in other words, he said we are, that every person or the human race is made up of four types of ground or soil or hearts. So he likened our lives to be like ground or hearts, an inner man, a heart, our lives. This heart part represents our life. So with the soil or the ground represents our life, what kind of person we become. And we'll find out that it illustrates actually so much, but really what we can receive from God. He teaches us the condition of our hearts determines the effect that the seed or the word of God has in our lives and what we can actually receive from God because of it. Now, I'm going to make a statement in here today, and you, if you're part of this church or you're listening today, you probably know that this is true. All of us would agree, according to the Word of God is all powerful. It's all powerful. But did you know that even though it's all powerful, the condition of our heart will determine where or how that seed is affected in life, or if that seed can actually grow or produce after its kind. Because the Word of God is given to do exactly what it said or promised to do. It was designed to be planted in our life like a seed, and it will produce after its kind. But if our heart is not in a condition to receive that all-powerful word, even though that word is all-powerful, our heart condition, our life condition will determine whether that seed can actually grow, produce, and bear fruit in our life. Did you know that? So it's not, even though it's so important, we say the word is the most important thing. But you know why one person is going to receive and one person's not? Condition of heart.
That's right.
Condition of heart. And we've chosen to talk about this in Healing Center because we know that it will heal more than just your physical body or physical heart condition or a kidney condition or a whatever physical condition. But there's so many people that have physical conditions, but there's something in their soul that's keeping their bodies from getting healed through wrong thinking. Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about will take care of emotional as well as that many times hinders. Because, you know, we can sit and hear the best word, but if we're bombarded in our thoughts and our minds that we're no good, and God really doesn't love me, and look at my neighbor, he always gets blessed and I don't, or, you know, I know what happened to me last night, or I've got this problem, I got that problem. I'm not trying to be vulgar, but if we're all stowed up in our thought processes with the wrong stuff, we'll never get the healing in our bodies that we need outside of a supernatural move of God, which can happen through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that God initiates something that way. But the primary way that we're going to receive healing from God is by the condition of our heart, us receiving with our faith. Our faith is the greatest determining factor whether we receive from God or not. Not yes, God, not how great He is, not how powerful He is. Of course, He is the source of it all.
That's right.
He is the source of it. Without Him, we don't get any of that.
Nope.
So I'm not discounting that, but what I am telling you right now, if our faith in God is the determining factor, is the greatest determining factor whether we ever receive from God, and has, this is why we're talking about our hearts. And so the type of ground we are, or the condition of our hearts, determines what we receive from God. Amen. This is why it's important. We feed our spirits, starve our doubts. Amen. This is why this healing center is so important. Because as long as we live, and we live in a fallen world, which we do, even though that healing has been provided, part of our inheritance, and it belongs to us, as far as we live on this earth, there are going to be times that we're going to have to believe God for healing. Why? For no more fact than we get older. The outward man perishes, but the inward man is being renewed but day by day. And so the reason it gives the contrast is lets you know that older that you get, the outward man may be perishing. The great news is if the inner man is renewed day by day and it's done right, then something on the outward man from the inward man can affect it.
Oh, yeah.
So in other words, that they're still healing, and we need to get our mind away from, you know, all the commercials and all the propaganda and all the things that teaches us that we're going to die after we're 50 from some disease, or that every other week there's a new flu, or you need a new shot, or you need this. What we really need is Jesus, and stop listening to the lies, because those things are programming us to believe the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And even though there are sicknesses and diseases that attack us, this is why that the healing of our bodies is provided for in redemption, who heals all our iniquities, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And so I think that's something that's so important that everybody needs to be reminded of. Mm. Praise God. And so you want to praise God. Praise the Lord.
You're doing a good job.
Amen. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to just keep on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but what we're going to do is, what we're going to be doing is looking at these four types of ground or heart conditions. Because regardless whether we like it or not, we are in one of those places.
That's right.
The good news is, if we're not where we're supposed to be, we can identify that. And then we can, we're going to give you the answer. If you're, see, only one of the four produces fruit, received from God, and produces fruit. If we're in one of the three that aren't, we're not just going to talk about the problem. We're going to talk about how to fix that. Because unclogging that, it opens the doorway for us to receive healing, receive whatever else we need from God.
That's true.
So we are fruitful in our lives. Can I get amen? Praise the Lord. And so before we do, let's look at what God said about the importance of our hearts or our spirits, amen, condition, and receiving from Him. So let's turn and look at Proverbs 18:14, the condition of our heart. How important it is that we have a strong spirit. How important that we already know we have really a perfect spirit. And for me to say that, I think many of you have heard Pastor Debbie probably say that, a new creation, there is nothing lacking in your spirit.
Nothing.
It's new. It's new. It doesn't need to be healed. But what needs to be done is your mind needs to be renewed to what's happened on the inside. So that you can believe right and then live from that place that God has for us, or receive from what God has for us, so that through the inward man, we affect the outward man.
Yeah, and I like to say it like
this. Go ahead, love.
Because we are spirit beings, the very life and nature of God is within our spirit. Healing, everything we need to live successful has already been provided and
awesome.
Is in us, because of the life of God is in us. So what we're learning to do is release from our heart or our spirit through the filter. What is the filter, Pastor Debbie? The soul, the mind. your will, your intellect, your reasoning. It has to go through the filter in order to affect the outward man or the outward circumstances. So the mind being the filter, if the filter gets clogged up, then it's not releasing the full life that's within your heart, your spirit, to affect the outward man.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. So we want a pure flow from our heart through the filter. What do you mean if you feel? Well, your mind, you need to agree with God. Your heart, you believe God with.
Great point.
Difference here. Your heart, you believe in God with, but with your mind, your soul, you're agreeing with God concerning what His Word says about you, that you are the healed of the Lord. Right here, right now. You mean right now, Pastor Debbie? The Word says Jesus sent His Word and healed you and delivered you from all your destruction. You are healed right now, but it's learning to release by faith what's already been provided for you. Through the filter, you're agreeing with God, you believe in God. I am healed. I'm not moved by what I feel. Feelings have nothing to do with it, because the feelings are what? The voice of your body, the outward man. That's not the real you. And the more, like Pastor Chris said at the very beginning, the more that you can understand and get this revelation that you are a three-part being, the better it is for you and walking in all the truths that God says already belongs to you. Healing belongs to you. It's not, healing is not about a feeling. It is about a knowing who you are and what you have in Christ.
That's so good, love, because it is about a knowing. And if we know, see, a lot of times people, we know about, but this is, you're talking about being fully persuaded.
Fully persuaded.
We're not looking for it. We believe we got it.
Mm-hmm.
And so many people believe in healing, but they don't believe they have it.
Right.
Jesus,
we need to start defending what we already have and not trying to get what we don't have.
So one of the ways that when you said what you did about the filter and everything, I know one of the times that I substituted for you and I had a number of comments about it, I gave an illustration of a conduit. So I'm going to do that again because the life of God is in our spirit. So
yes.
If you saw a piece of pipe that runs through, and we would have a valve here. What does a valve do? You know what a valve does. You got to speak it on the end of your side of your hose. You cut that on to let the water flow through. Well, the water is already there, okay? All you do is you turn the valve on to let the water go somewhere else, okay?
Right.
So if you see yourself as this conduit, that in this side of the pipe is your spirit, and it has the life, it has the healing, it has the completeness of God. But where it's stowed up is right there. It stopped right there. The filter that Pastor Debbie is talking about, or the what I'm saying, the valve is our mind. We're to agree with God. The sole purpose of your mind is really to be renewed and to agree with God.
There you go.
You don't believe God with your mind. You believe God with your heart. We're going to talk about that one moment.
Yeah.
You agree with God with your mind. This is why a lot of times people say, well, you know, I get bombarded on this. The battle's in the mind. Just agree with God there. And when you start doing that, then what happens is, then it's like opening that valve.
Yeah.
Now the life that's in that tube, the healing, the life that's in you already from God, that valve gets open in your mind, and it flows through to your body.
There you go. That life is released. Hallelujah.
And
we're learning to release what already we have.
Yes. And many times, this is why people, you can sit in your seat and receive healing, because healing is really first a spiritual thing.
Yes,
it's manifested
it
in the
spiritual.
Physical, but it's a spiritual thing. It's a belief thing that the power of God is released that's already within you, amen, through your faith in God, what He's already provided, and then it's manifested into your body.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Praise
so
God.
Let's look at why this is so important about our spirit and having the right heart condition and why it needs to be strong. In Proverbs 18:14, it says, we're going to look at three translations here. King James Version says, the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. Wow. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, I'm going to start on the back side of this verse. It says, a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, I'm saying this empathetically. I'm not trying to be mean, but there's lots of people that have a wounded spirit. Now let me tell you something. The place they need to be is here.
Come on.
Because let me tell you, where are the most sick people at today? In a hospital. What was a hospital designed to do? It's a place for the sick. It's a place for them to receive healing or help. You know what I'm saying? Well, that's really what, you know what? The church, if it's done right, it's like a spiritual hospital for the hurting and the healing. So everybody that's come is not going to be perfect like you and me. Look at your neighbor and say, huh, praise the Lord. You're just saying, you know, that was supposed to be a joke. Okay. So everybody that comes, see, we want people that's hurting to come because this is their hospital. This is their house of healing.
Yes.
This is, and I can tell you, it's free.
Yes.
It don't cost nothing but your energy. Come on, to receive. You ain't got to worry about having no insurance payment or giving. Let me see your insurance card or whatever. You know, listen. What God wants to do is far better. Thank God for the medical field. We're not against medical.
No,
we thank God for the medicine and for the right stuff. Amen.
Yeah.
And for great godly doctors. But what we're saying is that so many people have. What do you mean a wounded spirit? Well, it's what I was talking about before. Figuratively, their spirits, or you could say their hearts have been damaged because what's happened is their soul has been affected. Their spirits, the power that God would have for us to receive from Him has been shut off because of the damage in our lives emotionally. Words that have been spoken, bad things that have happened. Things, disappointments, all the list goes on. But notice it's a wounded spirit who can bear. But notice the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. So it is important, the condition of our heart.
Yes, it is.
Now, listen to the Amplified translation of this. It says, the strong spirit of a man sustains him in bodily pain and trouble. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So even though our bodies can be attacked, and they will be attacked because we live in a fallen world. I said that we live in a fallen world.
Yeah.
And so they will be attacked. But notice it says the strong spirit of a man will, condition of heart again, will sustain him in his bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and a broken spirit, who can raise up or bear? Now, in case we didn't know, the scripture talks about different types of faith. It talks about weak faith. It talks about strong faith. It talks about exceeding growing faith. But the thing that I want you to understand is that every believer has been given already when you're saved. Romans 12:3 tells us we have been given the measure of faith.
Yes.
Amen. The measure of faith is what we, so it's not that you don't have faith. It's developing your faith so it stays strong, and then it's the exercise of your faith.
That's right.
You got to use your faith.
What you do with it.
You could have a heart full of faith and never use it.
Yep.
And it doesn't do you any good.
No.
It's not that you don't have faith. We have to learn to use that faith.
There you go.
Because, faith without works, the scripture says, is dead. In other words, without action.
Ineffective.
Amen. And so a lot of times people get confused about different stuff. But let me give you a natural illustration of this. All of us have the same muscles in our bodies.
Right.
All of us do. All of us do. And I could have up here a whole thing of weights that, you know, from 5 pounds to 100 pounds. And some could handle the five and some could handle all of them, the whole list of them. And we could sit here all day and applaud them and look at them, but none of them will make us stronger until we use the resistance of that against our muscle.
That's right. Pick it up and do something with it.
It's the use of it. And see, a lot of times people say, well, you know, the test and the storm made me strong. No, it's the use of your faith in it that calls you to win make you strong.
That's it.
It's not the test itself that makes you strong. It's
no,
what you do
the
in the test.
Usage of your faith.
Because you got faith. You got to use your faith. You got to exercise. That's what makes your muscles strong.
That's it.
Hallelujah. So the strong spirit of a man will sustain in his bodily pain or trouble, but a weak and a broken spirit who can raise up. Last but not least of this message, Bible says, a healthy spirit conquers adversity. So this is why we're talking about the condition of our heart and the importance of the condition of our heart. Heart plays a part for not just physical healing, which this is what we want, but every part that will allow for physical healing as well as emotional healing in people's life. So let's look at, Pastor Debbie made a great statement a minute ago. Let's look at Romans 10:10. And Romans 10:10 tells us this. It says, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with his mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mm-hmm. So notice here, it's with your heart that you believe. Mm-hmm. It's your heart that you believe with, not with your... See, your mind agrees, but your heart, this is where we have to understand, we believe God with our inner man, mm-hmm. with our heart. But if that, guess what? If our mind doesn't agree with God, our heart ain't going to, come on, we're not going to believe with it. Nope. If our mind's all cluttered up with wrong stuff, it doesn't mean we have to have perfect thinking. It means if wrong thinking comes, we cast it down. If the wrong thinking of healing doesn't belong to you, you cast it down.
That's right.
And you go back and replace it and agree with God that says, by stripes I'm healed.
That's it.
If it says, I'm getting old now and I'll never, you know, you gotta cast it down and agree with God. The inner man is being renewed day by day, and I don't have to be sick. I can be well.
Yeah. And that's where it goes back to using your mouth.
Yes, go ahead.
Speech center being the dominion center of our lives. Faith is released through your words and your actions. It's voice activated and it is motion activated.
Really good. And so this is why it says, and with mouth confession is made unto salvation. The point is, we release that faith. We believe with the heart, but we release that faith through our words. And then it becomes, that's part of faith, mm-hmm. that how it works. So let's talk about, as we talk, we're going to skip a verse and come back to that. But we're going to, I'm saying that for the team back there. But we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20 through 23. This is a familiar portion of Scripture for most that are in the healing center at that regular attend or listen. But it should be a part of our daily life.
Come on. This portion
of Scripture is so powerful.
Yeah.
It has so many answers. My son, attend to my word. That means give attention to it. That means put God's word first. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. You know, if you met somebody on the street and they wanted to engage you in a conversation and they said, hey, you got a moment to talk? You said, man, I'd like to, but I just got some business I got to attend to first. What does that mean? It means they have to put... They give attention to something else. It means that they had something else they have to do first. They would love to engage you in a conversation, but something else has to come first. Mm-hmm. Well, this is what it means, attend to my words. You know, we all got a lot of things to do in life. Mm. Everything from work to grandkids to our spouses to all just kind of wonderful things, but nothing's more important than God.
That's true.
Nothing, and this is why we have to attend to his word, because your attitude and my attitude towards the word of God will determine the place that God holds in our daily life.
So good. Say that again.
Our attitude towards the word of God will determine the place that God holds in our daily life. So I'm thankful that people will do something with it before they go to bed. But if that's the only thing you've done with it all day, that's better than nothing. But you know what? You didn't attend to the word of God.
Right.
You didn't put it first.
Right.
If listen, we're giving you the things that we're giving people the things that it's good to take to work.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To work.
I always teach this, Pastor Chris, that it's a good habit to form the moment you get born again, you get saved, and you receive Jesus as your Savior, and you make him the Lord of your life, is to learn to feed the inward man first. Mm. Of all else, before the outward man gets his breakfast or his coffee or his drink, you're feeding the inward man. What is food for the inward man?
Yeah.
The word of God is the spiritual food for your inward man.
Yeah.
And if you'll learn to do that, then you'll grow with leaps and bounds by feeding the inward man and building that inward man strong.
That's something that we've done for years.
Mm-hmm.
Even then, I'm thinking before we were in full-time ministry, obviously you worked in the shipyard and I was a meat cutter, the first things that we did in the morning were spiritual things. Even when, in that hour I had before I went to work, I had it all spelled out, but I got up and you know, being a man, I'm working in a job. I don't really care what my hair is going to look at, what I'm going to look at. Nobody's going to see me. Well, I am working with the public, but I'm going to be behind the wall. I put a hat on, so my hair can look like a bouffant, but so I ain't got to worry about spending the half an hour that y'all do to get that straight. Ladies, okay, anyway. But the point it is, I had even when I got up, I knew how much time I had at home. We put the word in prayer first.
Yes, we did, and continued.
And we continued to do that. So it's so important. So notice, attend to my word, incline your ear to my saying. So this is, you know, I applaud you today because this is why you come to Healing Center, to incline your ear to His sayings, not Pastor Chris' sayings, but God's sayings.
Yeah.
And see, when we take what we're saying as God talking to you, then
now,
you're taking it the right way. If you got to get to a place that when you hear God's word taught, it is not what Pastor Chris said. It is what God said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is what God, it's God talking to us.
Yeah.
God is, and you know, it is God talking to us, and we have to receive it that way. Notice verse 21 says, it says, let them not depart out of your eyes, and keep them in the midst of your heart. So notice, what you put before your eyes get into your heart. Lamentations 3:51, I believe is what it says. Yeah, I believe that's the right scripture. 3:51 says, your eye has affected your heart.
Yes, that is right.
Your eye has affected your heart. And this is why there's so many things that pop up on the screen when you go look even for good stuff, you know, on the computer, because it knows, the devil knows, just like God knows, your eye has affected your heart. So this is why, I mean, even sometimes Pastor Debbie will show me something and say, hey, you need to look at this. But her hands over the pop-up bars on the side there, because something on there ain't too good.
Yeah, it is
what it is. It is what it is.
You look at,
and so you can't, or you just have to delete that, click that. Or what. But what I'm saying is, you got to understand, it is important. Many times when I meditate, I can quote every scripture I'm going to meditate on, but I purposely open my book, my Bible, and look at it as well as read it and quote it and pray about it. Amen. So keep them in the midst of your heart, how? By what you attend to and give your eyes to. Notice verse 22. For they are life to those that find them. That implies we do have to find them, so there has to be a diligent search. It means to acquire.
Yeah.
There is some effort there.
That's right.
They're life to those that find them, and notice it says health to all that flesh. The Hebrew word for health there is the word medicine. So God's word is medicine. God's word is what we call gospels. Amen. The good news of God's medicine or healing word. Amen. Notice verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence. The condition of your heart, keep it right, for out of it flow the issues of life. Yeah. So when we talk about keeping our heart, one of the things that's letting us know it means to keep, it means to guard, it means to protect, it means to build a fortification around it to protect the wrong things from getting into it.
Yes.
One translation says, keep your heart right at all cost, for it is the direct center of your life and ministry. And so notice it says, for out of all the issues of life, one translation says, it is the source of life. So what we have to understand is, just like back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve didn't do a good, or Adam didn't do a good job keeping the enemy out. We don't just let anything in. We have to keep the wrong out. So I keep my heart by keeping my mind and toxic wrong thinkings out.
That's right.
If I'm going to keep my heart, I got to keep those wrong thoughts out. I don't let them get in my heart. They may enter my head, but they don't have to get in my heart, because I cast them down and I don't let them be what I believe. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your one amen out there. And praise God. Amen. But that's
and
the
toxic
truth.
Toxic thoughts can be anything that's contrary to the Word of God.
Yeah.
The lies that the enemy can tell you that you'll never get past this, you'll never get over this, you'll have this for the rest of your life. It was passed down through your family. Your mom had this, your dad had that. All those lies. But you got to learn to replace those lies by saying with your mouth what the Word says, believing with your heart, agreeing with your mind. You know what? I agree with God's Word. I choose to believe this. Yes.
You got a new life, new DNA, new bloodline.
There you go. And a great inheritance.
A great inheritance. Amen. So we get the picture of how important the condition of our heart is, hopefully. I want to give you one last illustration. We might not get past this. I think we will. And then begin in Mark chapter 4 in closing. But if we will look at Romans chapter 4, and we see a great illustration of how the condition of our heart determines what we can receive from God. Mm-hmm. So in Romans chapter 4, if you look there with me, and beginning with verse 19, it says, this is talking about Abraham, the father of faith.
Yes.
It says, being not weak in faith. So if we understand that weak faith can't receive from God what strong faith can, then we need to know how to get strong faith or how to keep weak faith from affecting us. Notice it says, being not weak in faith, he considered not. So strong faith considers not his own body.
There you go.
Considers not his own body. So in other words, your body doesn't become the final source of what you believe. It may be a fact that you got a pain. It may be a fact that the doctor said you got terminal cancer, but you're not letting that be the final report. Whose report are you going to believe? The doctor report or God? Well, Pastor, they said terminal. But what did God say about that?
Yes.
Because your faith in God, I get that. That's the fact. But I'm letting you know the truth of God and His power can trump the fact every time.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, there's a lot of people that never believed in you, said all kind of bad things about you, but your faith in God has got you over that. Now that you know that you're a new creature in Christ, you know that you're loved by God, all those things change that part of it. But now we got to do the same thing with our bodies.
That's right.
And not being weak in faith, he considered not. Everybody say considered not. So we cannot consider what our body's telling us to be the truth. It may be a fact, but we cannot let it be what we believe solely. If it contradicts the Word and what God says we can have or what He's given to us, we have to not consider it. And when he was about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Now, we're going to stop right there. He considered not his own body. Some of you have a translation that says he considered his own body.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because many other translations say, King James Version says he considered not. Other translations you might have right there says he considered his, after considering his own body. Okay? I love what one translation says, and I believe this will spell out exactly what it's trying to communicate with us.
Yeah.
After, one translation says, after considering his body, he decided to consider it not.
There you go.
After considering his body, he decided to consider it not. What is that saying? After he came to grips with the fact that he had an issue that was contrary. God said he was going to have a child, and his body said he wasn't.
That's right.
Old man said he won't. God said he was. But after considering he was an old man and he couldn't have it, he decided to consider not that fact. He decided to consider what God said. He would be the father of many nations.
Yes.
Woo! Glory to God. When he's about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. Hey, it wasn't only his problem. Sarah had a problem too.
That's right.
Okay? So, well, here we go. All right. And verse 20. It goes to say, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. Wow. But what was what? Was strong in faith, giving glory to God. See, what causes us to win and stagger not in unbelief is the promise of God.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to be so gazed upon the Word of God and the promise of the Word of God that we are healed, that we are free, that we are righteous, that we are healed. We are what God says we are. We're going to have to be so focused on that that we don't, that Because of the promise of God, we don't stagger at the unbelief. We don't stagger at the symptoms. We don't stagger at what people say. We don't stagger at our circumstance.
Or at our feelings.
Or our feelings. That's really good. Our feelings.
The voice of your body.
Yep. But we're strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now notice verse 21 goes on and said, and being fully persuaded. So what is strong faith? It's fully persuaded. What? That what God had promised, what God has said, what God had promised, He was able also to perform. Woo, glory to God.
Yes.
So one of the things that I like, do you want me to just keep on for 1 second? Okay, praise the Lord. One of the things that I like to think about is when we're talking about this verse, how can we know that we're fully persuaded? Well, you know whether you're fully persuaded or not. Then you're not questioning that anymore. You say you got it.
That's right.
So, the best definition of faith, I'm going to give it to you. Faith is, or implies, knowledge of and confidence in certain divine truths. Talk about God's Word, that produce good works, action, or obedience in the believer's life. I'll say that again. Now, that's not the first time I've ever given it to our church. I've given it to it many times. But faith implies, and you can look this up in the, you know, faith, you can have many definitions as simple as this, taking God at His Word.
That's simple.
But when you look, that's simple. Taking God at His Word. Mm-hmm. But what I'm defining here.
Acting like God's Word is true.
Acting like God's Word is true. All those are simple. And they're right. And sometimes the simpler the better. But I got a point of I'm making here when we're looking at this. So faith implies such a knowledge of and confidence in. Mm-hmm. Knowledge, certain divine truths. So you have to first, faith begins where the will of God is known.
Right.
Faith begins where the Word of God is known.
Yes.
No word, no faith. Not God kind of faith. No word, no faith.
That's
no
right.
Will, no faith. You got to know what God's Word says. God's Word is God's will, and that produces faith.
Yeah.
But notice, it says faith implies such a knowledge of. So faith begins where you know something. Know what? The Word of God. Is that right? But notice it doesn't stop there. In the Greek lexicon, it says knowledge of and confidence in. You know what that means? You go from knowing what God said to being fully persuaded. Because confidence is that next step, that you're confident.
Yeah.
You're confident. You don't just know it, but now you're confident because of what you know.
Mm-hmm.
Woo! Glory to God. So much so that it produces something. Faith always produces something. It produces good works, action, or obedience in the believer's life. In other words, whatever God said, you act on.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wake up in the morning and I don't say, you loser, you. I wake up in the morning and say, you're a new creature in Christ. You're the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yeah.
I'm acting on the Word of God, but I'm fully persuaded of that. I'm not saying it to try to be it. I'm saying it because I am that.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Same thing about healing. But you got to believe that. But how do we do that? Well, we talked about that, about attending to the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Cline your ear to His sayings. Let not a part of your sight keep them in the midst of your heart. How do you get them in your heart? By what you hear and what you see. Attended to it.
Mm-hmm.
For their life to those, medicine to those that find them, medicine to all that flesh. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Love, I know that you like to pray for people. I don't know whether we really have time to just read that portion of Scripture in Mark chapter 4 today. We'll pick up next week.
Next week.
We don't, want to pick up there next week?
Yeah.
Why don't you close with however what you feel inspired to talk about you might want to pray for people. I don't know. You might have something else to add.
Well, one thing about the Healing Center is we always give people opportunities to what? Release their faith. And there are different ways that you can release your faith. One way is by having hands laid on you. What do you mean? The hands are going to heal me? No, we mean this, that when hands are laid on you, it's a point of contact for you to believe you receive and then release your faith and believe you got it right then. The moment hands are laid on you. It's not about a feeling. It's about believing. So we always give that opportunity. If there's anyone in here this morning and you said, you know what, that word, I just came expecting today, Pastor Debbie, that when hands are laid on me, I believe that's it for me. I got it. I'm leaving here today. Bless God with my healing. And that's it. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.